360 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. But truly, you give us that joy back exponentially. I'm Josh Harris, joined by some very holy Catholics. Hey, Dave, you're also here.
I'm here, too. exponentially.
Well, we, in all seriousness, I am joined by a real holy trilogy of wonderful people in here. And Allison's got a prayer for us this morning. Is that correct?
I sure do. And it was given to me from today's Magnificat reading. So let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, your word is the rock in which we take refuge against all outward disturbance and inner turmoil. Pour forth upon your people the refreshing stream of living water, which wells up from the heart of your Son, that we may dwell together in inward and outward peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about inner turmoil, outward disturbance. Yeah, there's just been a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. You know, for all of us to see, and I think a lot going on in individual lives as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
David, I think you had a clip that I didn't even know. I didn't even hear this. I didn't see this clip, yeah. But it was, you played it for me, and it was very powerful. I mean, a pretty compelling call to action in terms of what we could do when we've been wronged. I mean, or maybe should I say the infinite depths of God's grace. Do you have that for us?
Yeah, well, and I'll just set this.
You want to say, yeah, set the stage.
It was from Charlie Kirk's memorial service yesterday, mm-hmm. And this is his widow, Erica, talking. Yeah, go ahead, Allison.
That young man on the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man. I forgive him.
Wow.
I think about, and I've always thought about this. I've seen, like, on TV where, you know, something horrific happens to one of their family members.
And, yeah.
And the people sometimes they'll say, you know, I hope you. I mean, just
rot. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, just mean, some just, terrible, yeah, mean, yeah, things and not forgiveness. And I always prayed that if something like that ever happened to a family member of mine, that I would be able to forgive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope I would be able to.
Yeah. Well, and I even think, too, if something happens, even if it's not murder, but if somebody dies,
right
in your relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
Sadly, some people get angry at God, right? And, like, mm-hmm. We hope that in that case where when something drastic or devastating happens to us or somebody around us, that we can know that God is there.
Yeah.
And that he is our rock and our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one that can keep us together.
Yeah.
So this is, by the way, in 2015. Okay, we go back. I mean, think about God. With God, all things are possible. You think about somebody having their spouse taken away from them by an mm-hmm. assassination, mm-hmm. and the impossible depths that God's grace would have to penetrate to compel that kind of forgiveness. It reminds me of 2015 in Charleston. There was the church shooting at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
9 parishioners were murdered during a Bible study. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, at the bond hearing for the shooter, several family members of the victim stood up in court and publicly forgave
mm-hmm.
him.
Yeah.
So I have some quotes here. Nadine Collier, daughter of victim Ethel Lance, "You took something very precious away from me. I will never talk to her again, and I will never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." Another person, Anthony Thompson, husband of Myra Thompson, "I forgive you and my family forgives you, but we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent, confess, give your life to the one who matters most, Christ, so he can change you."
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. And that's, I mean, I think that could be one of the most difficult things we do as Christians,
mm-hmm.
is to forget, especially in that situation. You know, how, and like I said, I just hope if if I'm ever in that situation, that I am able to forgive. I pray that.
Well, we got to go back to that phrase, though. Remember what it says in Scripture. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we might look at a situation like that, or what if it happens to us? We say, that's impossible to forgive. And mm-hmm. you're right. It is for us.
Right.
But when we are in that moment, God is so near mm-hmm. that he can do the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And staying close to Jesus in the sacraments, going to adoration.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
daily mass, Josh. You know, you get to daily mass every single morning or in the afternoon. So, again, I think we've got to be armed and prepare ourselves for things that might come.
Right, yeah.
We can't, because when it happens, if we're not prepared, you know, by mm-hmm. spiritually being fed by Christ, adoration, yeah. sacraments, it's going to be a little more challenging. Not to say mm-hmm. God can't do anything. So we need to, and I say right now, I mean, start now if you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just, last thing I'll say this super quick is, on that point, it, you know, when my father passed away, without the sacraments, without 12-step meetings, without service, without adoration, with all these things that kind of sustained my soul, it would have been hell. But with those things, I got glimpses of heaven.
Amen, mm-hmm. amen. Beautiful words, Josh.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, continues her series. Real exciting stuff. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Matthew the Apostle. Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church, unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Kevin Matthews speaks to us about his movie, Broken Mary.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Kevin Matthews discussing his movie Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story that will be in theaters on October 7th for one day only. So glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, we're delighted. And we our production manager here, Dave, he just has very many, many great memories of you. I want him to chime in.
I lived in Southwest Michigan in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was a huge Kev head. So,
well, thank you. And I how about that? Yeah, we there was 10 million of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had an incredible career in radio, but all things change, and I am having a better time now.
Praise God.
If you would have told me 30 years ago that I would be taking a concrete statue of Mary that I found at a dumpster around the country, I would say you're high. And, you know, but I'm also so blessed. The story, you know, it's not my story. This is all God.
Hmm.
And it's not my story. It's our story. We're all broken, but we're loved by God. And just watching Charlie Kirk, that tribute yesterday, his wife, hearing you talk, you know, she freed herself as well. And Charlie's wife was so devoted to our Blessed Mother. And no one knows more suffering and pain and loss than our beautiful Mother Mary.
Yes.
And I found a dumpster. I had hit rock bottom. I was born Catholic, but I was a zombie Catholic. You know, I have children. I made sure that they got the sacraments. But as soon as that was done, I'm out of the church. And I had hit rock bottom. And one, I hear the Holy Spirit. I used to say, I heard a voice. No, I had a dear priest say, no, Kevin, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Say, get your wife some flowers. And there's no such thing as a coincidence. I look up, there's a flower shop. I get out of my car. I'm walking towards the door. Over to my left, I see a dumpster. But also on the ground, I can tell that there is a statue of the Virgin Mary lying on the ground. And I walked over to it. I looked down. Mary's looking at me. She's broken in half at the waist. Her hands are missing. She's sunk in the mud. She's covered in garbage. And I wait a minute. I'm not an angel here, but this is wrong. This is the mother of Jesus. And then I did hear clearly and sternly, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
And so I, yes, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And what had happened, that was 10 years ago, and I'm so thankful that I didn't drive by the floral shop. Otherwise, I know I would be in hell and gone. But here I am today, and the story is getting that statue and having a... I could speak for an hour here, but what I do know, I've written two books, and here we are, this movie. I did not go to Hollywood and pitch this. I so happened to be in... I was speaking. A director heard me from ODB Films, and here we are. And it's God knows exactly what he's doing. And I just look at the time of the world right now. We are broken. And look at how many people... I cannot believe what I saw yesterday in that arena. How many people are literally letting go and falling into the Sacred Heart of Christ.
Yes. Wow.
And I know God is using me. I made a vow to Jesus. I said, Jesus, look at, I am nothing but a shepherd dog. I can't walk. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm bruised. But any lamb that comes to me, I'll, without biting, without barking, I'll move them to you. That's all I have in life, is I just want to be a shepherd dog of Christ.
Wow.
And I want everybody to see this movie, because it's not like, oh, I get a take of the movie or whatever. No. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful story about we're all broken. And as long as we're living on earth, look at what Charlie's wife did. In a second, I forgive him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Jesus says. When you just turn and go to him and say, Jesus, I am so lost. Help me. Come to me. Mm-hmm. Come to me. I forgive you. I love you. I love you.
Wow, that is so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And what a witness, man.
You wouldn't believe it.
You said something that I thought was really poignant. You talked about your health challenges, and now you are kind of like, I think that's that St. Francis prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And it's like, you're just becoming an instrument, you know, and an instrument doesn't play itself. You are letting God, you know, call the tune.
Yeah.
And so how has your relationship with God changed, right? Throughout, you know, before your health struggles now, and like, and how does this statue kind of, how does this new mission breathe life into, you know, your apostolate, your call, Christ's call in your life?
I realize now God is the most important thing. God is more important than my wife, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, because without God, I have none of that.
Yeah.
And I have none of that. And at the same time, the people that have, when I found the statue and I got the statue and I put her back together, I was slowly going back to church. And I said to Father Mark, I said, Father, where can I get her fixed? And told me he came and blessed her, because I wanted her washed. She was in garbage.
Mm.
And the minute I did that, the people that have taken her, I said, she doesn't belong to me, take her. And she's been in hospice. She's been in emergency rooms. She's been in prisons. Our Blessed Mother has been with the most broken. Yes, it's a statue, but I guarantee you where this statue is, God is, and Jesus and our Blessed Mother are. I'm with her now.
Wow.
I used to hang out with strippers. Now I hang out with priests and nuns.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm but at the same time, I'm with Father Josh right now. We're getting ready to film a small documentary on the rosary.
Wow.
I love the rosary. And I always say that the rosary is Mary's umbilical cord. It's how she feeds us Jesus.
Mm.
And I have found so much peace inside our Blessed Mother's rosary. She's the one. When I went to that flower shop and I heard Jesus say, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? I got that statue back by the mercy of God. And it was... God said, I am going to leave you with my mother, and she's going to clean you up. That was 11 years ago, and I've spent every day, every hour, every second with our Blessed Mother.
Wow.
And she has done just that. She's cleaned me up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I love that, Kevin. So what do you hope every person who watches Broken Mary walks away with, and how do you want this film to move their heart or change their lives?
That there is hope, but at the same time, you are loved. You can be, all you have to do is just let go. Just let go. Just let go. And just, we are loved. We all are broken. Even the Pope, from everybody, we're all broken, and the Pope would say that.
Yeah.
But we're loved by God. We're loved by God. Go to Him. Go to Him. Because once we die, in a nanosecond, we are in front of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And there's no, let me get my resume together. Here's my 401k. Hey, here's what I think I was pretty good. No. He will know you or He won't.
Yes.
So starting today at this moment, say, Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my life. I am so broken, Jesus. I have nothing left.
Wow.
I give my brokenness, everything to you. You know, a friend of mine, I was in Jersey last week speaking at the Fatima Shrine up in up northern New Jersey, and a priest, these people come into our lives.
Yeah.
And this priest, an angel, said to me, Kevin, because I have MS, he goes, Kevin, your stigmata is your MS.
Mm.
And that made such a beautiful, I love that, because I've always taken my pain because of somebody like Bernadette Subaru of Lourdes, who was so, she was in so much pain. She gave that pain for the conversion of sinners. She gave it to Christ for the conversion of sinners. And I do that now. But when this priest said that, it gave me, oh, that is so beautiful. It's my stigmata. And when we all have, you know, our sight is gone, or we can't walk, or we are having hardship, that is your stigmata. And that is the most precious gift you can give to Jesus Christ. Is your stigmata, is your pain for the conversion of sinners.
Amen.
Wow, that's fantastic. Really quick before we have to split to the next segment, but where can people go to learn more about this incredible film and your work spreading the good news?
Well, you can go to BrokenMaryFilm.com and find the theater near you. It's in 1,000 theaters.
Wow.
BrokenMaryFilm.com. Yes, this is out of my league, folks. When God decides to do something, He does it with grandeur. And 1,000 theaters. How many rosaries are going to be held for the first time instead?
Wow. Yeah.
I'm just like a little kid at Christmas.
Praise God.
Thank you so much for your yes to God, Kevin. Once again, we've been speaking with Kevin Matthews, talking about his film Broken Mary in theaters for one day only, October 7th. Go to BrokenMaryFilm.com to learn more. Thank you so much, Kevin.
God bless you all.
God bless you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, continues her series discussing today's topic. The battlefield is in the mind. How the enemy accesses our mind and distorts our thinking. Oh, by the way, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Matthew the Apostle. But next, our latest edition of The Morning Quest, Father Eric Hill, pastor Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks today's gospel reading.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are back, and we are joined by Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, to unpack today's gospel reading. How are you, Father?
Good morning. How are you? Good.
Oh, better now that we're hanging out with you.
Uh-oh. Big pressure.
Josh, don't scare Father away.
Well, we'd love it if you could unpack today's gospel, because you are the professional Catholic in this room.
Wow. Something like that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for your abiding presence this day, and always give us your wisdom and guidance as we share the Word of God with each other this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So as you read Luke's Gospel today, Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I have a story. When I was a young priest, it was after Easter. I was visiting my parents. I think it was the week after Easter, and I had just finished celebrating Mass at my parents' home parish. And I came back, and I was just heard the door knock, and someone knocked at the door, and went to the door, and there was two men there, black pants, white shirt, black ties, there to share the Christian message from their perspective. And I was in my collar, and I opened the door and I said, "Oh, good morning." And they said, "Oh, good morning." I said, "We're here to talk about our faith." And I said, "That's great." I said, "But as you can see, I kind of have my own. I'm pretty good with where I'm at." He goes, "Well, we'd be happy to come back when we're more receptive."
Oh,
wow.
And I was taken aback, but then I also was in awe that these guys were out sharing the good news door by door, mm-hmm. knowing probably 3/4 of the people or more will probably slam the door. In fact, when I was younger, my mom would say, "Oh, they're in the neighborhood. Just turn out the lights and close the door. Act like we're not here." And I think the gospel kind of addresses that. No one who lights that, we should be that light and that lamp that is exposed.
Yeah.
And I think as Catholics, we tend not to mm-hmm. share it because it's fear or it's concern or, you know, especially down here in the South. I mean, I was really never questioned about my faith.
Yes.
When I was growing up near Chicago. But down here, it's like, you're Catholic, or where do you go to church, or those things, that questions that did not happen before. And I think the sad part is, I think we as Catholics tend not to want, we tend to yeah. put our lamp, conceal
under the bush,
it.
Yeah, under the bushel basket, which we should not be doing.
Yeah, and it's like we're out here, and we should be visible. Not necessarily beating people over the catechism or the Bible or the rosary, but just say, you know what, we're here. We're Catholic, and we're here to share the good news. I couldn't imagine Catholics going door-to-door throughout neighborhoods sharing the good news. I just don't think they would do that. But I think we can be present in the community. Sharing the good news, being that light and light, the light and presence of Christ in the world, you know, but it's difficult. And I think we get intimidated sometimes when people start quoting scripture and we go, "Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that scripture. I don't know how to respond to that situation." And I said, we know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know the stories. We may not know chapter and verse, but we know the stories. We hear them every Sunday, every day at Mass. We've heard them over and over and over again in our lives. And it's okay to share it. It's okay to talk about our relationship with Christ. And that's the one thing that I told my parish many times, is that you may not be able to quote scripture or the catechism, but you at least talk about your relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can talk about your own personal story with Christ and why you're still a Christian, why you're still a Catholic, why you're still going to church. You know, if it's fear of the Lord, that's one thing, but if it's because Christ continues to work in your life and you recognize that, tell a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, Father. And it's tough. You know, people can argue with doctrine. I mean, I'm talking especially like, you know, people who maybe aren't in the faith, but it's pretty hard to argue with your testimony.
Absolutely.
And there's a video of a very famous entertainer who's atheist, and I believe after one of his shows in Vegas, somebody, and I'm going to try to get this correct because it's his, you know, a bit of an older memory, but somebody came up and tried to, I believe, give him a Bible and explain the gospel to him. And, you know, you would think that maybe he would be angry, but I think there's a kind of a follow-up of him talking to camera, and he says, like, "I'm not mad at that guy. Like, think about how loving what that person did. Like, he, like, you know, he's like, I may not believe the same thing, but he thought that what he was giving me was, like, absolutely the most important, and I'm paraphrasing, like, eternal gift that you could hand off to somebody." He said, "How unloving would it have to be for that person to not share it with me?" And I thought, wow.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's we have such a great gift, and you're right. It's hard to argue with one's testimony. We can argue about Mary and Eucharist, or I say argue. We can discuss all those things that are doctrinal, but it's hard to say, I don't believe your story.
Okay, you
don't believe it, but this is my story, and I'm not making it up, but there's no need for me to make it up. This is how God has worked in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing we can share. And without really much preparation, right? We don't have to consult a book. We don't have to consult the web, the internet. We can say, this is my story. And I think it would be great if more of us did that. And not be living in fear or worry. We can't discuss religion. Hey, this is how Christ has worked in my life. And I think the world needs to hear that. The world needs to hear the light of Christ spoken through simple terms, not through, yelling or you have to do this, or, you're going to hell unless you get with Jesus. But the loving, caring manner, and I'm assuming that the guy at the stand-up experience in Vegas probably did so in a loving manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think he threw the Bible at him and said, read this, you pagan.
Yeah.
I would assume he said, I want to share this with you.
Yeah.
So, Father, a good takeaway, would that be ponder your story and share it with others? Or if maybe somebody thinks, I don't have a story, pray about it. What's your thought about it?
I think it'd be simply that we just look at our lives and say, how has God worked in my life? And how can I talk about that with other people? How can I be that? How can my story or my life or my situation be the light to somebody else that may be in darkness?
That's a great word. Thank you so much, Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, helping us unpack today's gospel and really digest that good soul food. Thank you, Father.
All right. Blessings to you all.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Tens of thousands gathered at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona for the memorial of Charlie Kirk. The event featured speeches from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Florida Senator Rick Scott, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Vice President J.D. Vance, and President Donald Trump, former HUD Secretary Ben Carson, and commentator Candace Owens also spoke, recalling Kirk's passion for faith, family, and mobilizing young people. Charlie's widow, Erica Kirk, delivered an emotional eulogy rooted in her Christian faith. She shared her grief, affirmed that Charlie left the world without regrets, and in a moment that deeply moved the crowd, publicly forgave the man accused of killing him.
Later on The Morning Quest.
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, continues her series. We are so excited. And for more information, by the way, you can go to monicabosco.com. But next, our buddy Chip Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Matthew the Apostle.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It's 8:33.
What's up, Chuck?
Oh, well, Josh, on September 21st, which this year fell on a Sunday, just yesterday, in fact, is the feast day of St. Matthew, the tax collector turned apostle and evangelist. You know, only two men can claim to be both an apostle and gospel writer, those men being Matthew and his friend, Apostle John. St. Matthew is unique among the 12 in that he's the only one who was an apostle, an evangelist, and a martyr. The most popular tradition holds that he was put to death on the orders of the king of Ethiopia. Now, on the surface, it would appear as though Matthew was a man who had it all. Certainly, by the secular standards of the time he did, as a tax collector, he was undoubtedly wealthy by virtue of the fact that tax collectors of that era were, for all intents and purposes, government-appointed extortionists. They could come in and take what they want, when they want. And I'm reminded of the words of Mark Twain, who once said, "The difference between a taxidermist and a tax collector is that the taxidermist takes only your skin."
Wow.
So yes, Matthew and his cohorts had awful reputations, and they were well-earned and well-deserved. By today's standards, he was raking in CEO or movie star money, no question about it. Yet those two words uttered by Jesus, of course, this gospel is proclaimed every year on his feast day, which, since it fell on a Sunday this year, we did not celebrate. So for you fans of St. Matthew, wait till next year. But those two words uttered by Jesus compelled him to leave it all. He simply said, "Follow me." And Jesus, of course, knew that the Pharisees would begin to immediately gossip upon spotting him with Matthew, which prompted this reply from our Lord. This, once again, taken from that gospel passage. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. These are, of course, famous words of Jesus captured in this seminal passage wherein he calls Matthew to become one of the 12. And fact is, had Jesus waited to find a non-sinner to dine with, as the Pharisees apparently expected him to do, he would have starved to death, because we are all sinners, unless he had a standing reservation with his mother, Mary. But we are all sinners. And in Matthew, we see a great redemption story. A man who was a tireless evangelical globetrotter, making his way around during those difficult times in the early days of the church. Gospel writer, wrote the first gospel. And great saint to celebrate and reflect upon. I think we can probably all relate to him, because we are, too, all sinners who are looking for something greater. We're looking for the path to true joy, true happiness, true peace. And God has the monopoly on all those things.
Amen. Amen. And what a reminder. I love that his gospel spotlights this phrase, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous but sinners. And boy, you know, think about somebody in that time being a tax collector. I mean, it was really looked at as radical betrayal by the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know, extorting your own people. Because I think a lot of times they could be skimming money off the top, from what I've been told. And yet somebody that you could argue that his own people would want nothing to do with, the king of the universe said, you're in the starting 12.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah. And, you know, I can't help but think back, too, to that segment we did for our listeners who missed it. We talked about Saints Cornelius and Cyprian back on the 16th, where Pope Cornelius took on in defense of those who refused to offer their lives when forced to bow down to the pagan gods. A lot of them went and did that. And perhaps he channeled the words of Jesus, I desire mercy, in other words, to forgive those people, rather than to sacrifice their lives. Now, many other saints are called to sacrifice their lives. We have, obviously, a number of martyrs who we reflect upon, but in those words, we hear them straight from our Lord, which means they come straight from God, that Jesus is always the merciful shepherd looking to bring us back. For those who fall short, as I mentioned in that segment, perhaps those who bowed down to the pagan gods did so because they just didn't quite have that fully developed gift of fortitude to lay down their lives. Not everybody can do that, but our Lord takes them back anyway, because he wants them all. He wants to gather them all. He is their sheep. He is the sheep. We hear his voice, and he wants us all to be with him in heaven one day. So, yeah, in the case of Matthew, and I know a number of our listeners are watching the shows, and I've fallen way behind, but the Matthew character is quite interesting. I have to say, he's probably one of my favorites as I watch the show, the way he's portrayed. And I think that show is kind of coming to the crescendo as we speak. I'm hoping to be able to catch up on that one of these days.
Yeah.
I'm too busy studying saints, Josh. I don't have television. My goodness.
Well, hey, you could watch The Chosen and study 12 of them right there.
12 good ones, I might add. Yeah. Their names are etched in the kingdom of heaven, as we learn in the book of Revelation. That's a pretty cool thing.
It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great month for saints this September, and we still have a few more to go. My goodness, we've got St. Padre Pio coming up.
Wow.
We've got the Korean martyrs, St. Vincent de Paul. So after kind of a slow start, liturgically anyway, on the saint calendar, we really pick up steam. And, you know, on a day when you're celebrating the apostles, for those who go to daily mass, it just has a different feel. I mean, it's a feast, so we'll do the Gloria. The red vestments come out, as they have been quite a bit anyway these last few days. But in the case of St. Matthew, great role model for all of us. And, you know, in time, as I said, when it comes to our Lord, we are his sheep. We hear his voice. And in the words of Jesus, follow me. Matthew heard those words and nothing else was said. He dropped everything and he did just that. He followed him.
Yeah. And by the way, Matthew's gospel, I mean, it really is like it's just crafted so scientifically and precise, right? I mean, it's highly organized and catechetical. It's almost like a teaching manual for the early church. You have the infancy narrative, the genealogy and birth of Jesus, emphasizing the Davidic and Abrahamic roots. And there's five major discourses in this book, right? You got the Sermon on the Mount, Missionary Discourse, that's chapter 10, Parables of the Kingdom, Community Discourse, chapter 18, and Olivet Discourse, that's chapters 24 and 25, and of course, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. I think, you know, again, emphasizing that there would have been a primetime Jewish audience reading this. So I think he really wanted to spotlight Jesus is the new Moses, right? Moses gave the law on the mountain. Jesus delivers the Beatitudes on the mountain, right?
Yeah.
And the five discourses recall the five books of Torah.
Yeah. Organized, concise, systematic. He was channeling his inner bookkeeper, his inner accountant. That's maybe why our Lord chose him, whereas Luke was a physician. Mark's gospel, for those who read the gospels, you know, it's quicker and to the point. It portrays Jesus as a man constantly on the move, a man of action, written shorter and more succinct. And, of course, I should point out that St. Matthew is the patron saint of accountants, of actors. I didn't know that. Bankers, bookkeepers, tax collectors, and taxi drivers, which he must share with St. Fiacre, because if you may remember, we discussed him about 2 weeks ago, and he is also considered the patron saint of taxi drivers. I guess it's such a dangerous profession, they need two.
Okay, there you go.
Especially if you're driving them in New York anyway. But
that's great. By the way, apparently he is the most quoted gospel by the fathers of the church.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting stuff. And Matthew's gospel was used in the church liturgy from the earliest times, especially the Beatitudes and the Our Father. Wow. So cool to see its foundational roots. And again, God's word always prevails, which is why it is still with us over 2,000 years later.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how his Beatitudes were written a little bit differently than Luke's, whereas I guess Matthew's is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's is part of the Sermon on the Plain. It seems as though he's, in Luke's instance, he's speaking more to the poor, whereas Matthew's fleshes them out a little bit more, giving us food for thought in both instances, though, of course. And certainly the Beatitudes are roadmaps to holiness. And I think everyone today should spend a little bit of time in Matthew's gospel in honor of his feast day. If you can get to Mass, not too late. Some of you are probably on the way to Mass. Keep in mind there are noon Masses in some of our churches, but certainly seek his intercession today. It's particularly powerful on his feast day. I firmly believe that. But another great saint for all of us to be grateful for.
Amen. St. Matthew,
pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We're back for the Dream Meme Team.
That's right. At 8:42, we got some memes here. These are some funny. Some are just nothing more than a dad joke.
Mm-hmm.
Some are inspirational.
Gotcha.
A lot fewer inspirational ones today, though.
Well, you said the grand finale is inspirational, so I can't wait to the grand finale.
Let's open with this one. It's kind of a lengthy one. If you can't pray for 30 minutes, pray for 10.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't read a chapter of Scripture, read half. If you can't pray a rosary, pray a decade. If you can't give $10 to the poor, give a dollar.
Mm.
You can't stop sinning, so stop excusing your sin. Christ will perfect you. Just begin.
And that, again, I think that ties into the beginning of our show, right? Start now. We need to just, today's a day, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Well, I say whatever, but hello.
I think
godly stuff.
I think this one, you can relate to, Allison.
Talk to me.
You can either have a nice evening or you can help your child with their math homework. You can't have both.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You're not kidding. You are not kidding.
And then this one, I think of Josh when I see this one. Every time I hear a chef on TV say that you can easily make this from items already in your pantry, I assume they're going to make something with ramen noodles, potato chips, and various Little Debbies.
Now,
he wouldn't have the Little Debbies and the chips and stuff, but I could see a hard-boiled egg, some tofu, and
an apple.
And an apple,
that's
hilarious.
I love it.
Gosh.
Oh, Josh.
Here's a sign out in front of a True Value store. Men choosing paint must have a note from wife.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was terrible at golf, but now after years of dedication and practice, I'm no longer young. And, yeah, we should probably wrap it up here, huh? Oh, here's one, and you'll be able to relate to this one soon,
okay.
Allison.
Okay.
Nothing says parenting a teen like setting a curfew you can't stay awake for.
Oh, my goodness. I dread that, right?
Absolutely. Oh, and I like this one. My wife is using the word mansplaining incorrectly, and I don't know what to do about it. And we'll close on this one. Sometimes you fall down because there's something down there that you're supposed to find.
Oh.
How about that?
I love that. And that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, Dave. Way to end our wonderful memes.
Amen.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, continues her series and discusses today's topic. The battlefield is in the mind, how the enemy accesses our mind and distorts our thinking. By the way, to learn more, you can go to monicabosco.com.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160, The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:47, and I am delighted to talk to you. I have Monica Bosco here with us. She's a certified Catholic life coach, and she is going to be continuing her serious radio. You can listen, right? And she's going to be discussing today's topic, the battlefield is in the mind, how the enemy accesses our minds and distorts our thinking. So, Monica, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, Monica, what is the topic for today? Can you explain it a little bit more?
Yeah, so today we are going to be talking about tactics of the enemy. Where does the spiritual battle for our souls actually take place? And that place, that battlefield that begins in our physical world but then transcends into our spiritual life, is our mind. And that is what Romans 12:2 is all about. As Paul the Apostle tells us, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, he's telling us that the mind is the place of discernment in whether we choose good or we choose sin.
Wow, and that's so true. So, Monica, how does the devil access our mind?
Well, Allison, he not only accesses it, but he also distorts, he twists, he confuses our thinking, and he gets us to think what is not true, to develop false beliefs, and eventually commit a sin. The enemy, he does not have direct access to our will. The devil does not know what we are thinking, ever. Only God, only the Holy Spirit has that power. But it's our job to protect our minds. And there are gateways into our minds that are so basic to us as human beings, yet absolutely extraordinary as well. And those gateways are our senses. So the five senses: sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. Mm. Those senses help us perceive and interact with the world around us. So just like our thinking is optional, Allison, we can choose what we want to think about most anything. We can also choose how we control our senses, what we see, what we listen to, who or what we touch, what we hear, and what we taste.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's great. So can you give us some examples of how the senses are gateways, and you know how the enemy could use those senses to access our will?
Yeah, so let's start with sight, the most obvious one, right? It's the things we watch. It could be the news that leads to our anxiety and fear, or it could be a horror or cult type of movie that gets us focused on something evil, or something impure or racy video that we watch over and over again, and maybe it leads eventually to the betrayal of a spouse, or it changes basically what we focus on. It changes what we think about. It changes our priorities. With hearing, it's what we listen to. Right. And I'll tell you personally that the hard rock that I listened to in the 80s in high school was not bringing me closer to God. Mm-hmm. So it could be music, or it could be something that's super popular today, which are podcasts. And right now, even podcasts that seem so benign are incorporating new age information, talking about things like crystals or numerology or Enneagrams or law of attraction or feng shui, all of which are not based in Christianity as a whole, and especially not in our Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. Then we have touch. You know, it could be that you go for a massage and maybe you're given the option to do what's called Reiki, where they want to provide you with an energy healing. But what you're really doing there is opening the door to demons. You know, a human being cannot conjure up the power of healing on their own. Only God has that power. Smell is another one, and that may not be so obvious. It's a little harder to figure out how it could lead to something bad or sin, but smell as a whole can bring out a positive or negative reaction or response. The smell cells in our nose are linked to the limbic system in our brain, which governs our emotions, our behavior, and our long-term memory. So the sense of smell has a very strong emotional impact. We might associate a smell with a bad memory. Perhaps it's the smell of chlorine brings back memories of, you know, a child struggling how to swim, or maybe they almost drowned, and then it creates feelings of fear and then anxiety. Or we could use our sense of smell to inhale something we're not supposed to, like narcotics. You know, paraphernalia that's used to inhale a legal drug, it then alters our emotions and our ability to have good judgment. That virtue of prudence goes right out the window. And then the last one is taste. You know, something tastes really good, like my personal favorite is chocolate. We can overindulge. We could overeat. We could become extreme, perhaps even gluttonous. And gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins. We are not treating our bodies like a temple, as scripture tells us to, when we are in gluttony. And gluttony, for example, causes us to lose the virtue of temperance, where we no longer have control.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, Monica, how do we protect our senses? How do we keep the evil one out of our heads?
We pay attention. We be on guard. You know, there are questions you can ask yourself. Is this bringing me closer to God, or is this leading me into enemy camp? You know, what's this letting in? What's this leading me to do or not to do? What's the emotion that I'm feeling when I'm doing this? And do I want to keep doing this? If not, you can make the choice. You can choose something else, something good, and protect your will from the enemy's tricks and his traps.
Wow. So what happens if we allow something negative or positive to come through these gateways?
So the effects of choosing good or sin over time not only affects our will, but it also affects our physical brain. And those effects do two things. One, when you choose negative, sin, bad thoughts over time, over and over again, you'll get used to it. It starts becoming easier and easier to commit the sin to the point where it actually feels normal. And the same can happen when we choose good. When we choose to live in virtue, we go to Mass, we consume the Eucharist, we read scripture, we pray. All of those habits lead us to live a more naturally virtuous life. We choose good. We choose holiness. It's like a magnet that keeps attracting us because that's what we're feeding our brain. And our brain likes repetition. Repetition feels safe. The second thing, and this one blew my mind, no pun intended, when I learned this, is that when we choose the same trajectory, the same pattern of being good or bad over and over again, we can actually change our brain matter.
Wow.
So what I mean by that is when a person, say, for example, chooses to sin or let's say to do narcotics, it's like a dirt road you keep going over and over again. The path gets deeper and deeper and more ingrained. And our brains go there on autopilot, not even thinking about it, because we've created this pattern of behavior. And then our brain matter, the actual physical matter that our brain is made up of, changes, and not for the good. And this is where we can permanently damage ourselves mentally. So this is pretty powerful stuff.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow. Wow.
So can I ask you guys a question, Allison and Josh?
Sure.
So after hearing all this, is there anything that maybe is new to you or is making you think about how you would handle something differently or something you might be doing now? Is there anything? Mm-hmm. What's coming up for you?
Well, I think for me, I'm very grateful that I do feel like I have a rhythm of prayer that, you know, I'm happy. I think it's come a very long way. I try to do a daily holy hour and go to Mass daily as well. But I think that, like, paying attention to my thoughts, you know, because outside of those rhythms or even inside, like, there's distraction, there's negative thoughts that can be kind of on loops. And so to try to break some of those chains or be more conscientious to, you know, to hopefully turn off that autopilot cognition so those grooves don't sink deeper in, because those thinking patterns can, you know, become repetitive and habitual.
Yeah, exactly. Allison, how about you?
Yeah, you know what? So when you were talking about whether we do something good or bad, it can change our brain matter the more we do it. I mean, that is kind of amazing, right? Because even if it's something that is not necessarily sinful, but it's something that, golly gee, you know, eating that candy, right? And sometimes I'm craving sweets. I sure do like chocolate, but then sometimes I like other things. And I will go and I'll just do it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it again. And maybe tomorrow I'll do the same thing. So just, I think being more aware of what's happening and how the more you're doing something, it can actually be kind of ingrained in your head, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm like, you just have to say no, whether it's having treats or whether it's other things, right?
I think that's why accountability is so important.
Yeah.
Right. And you all, we've got about a minute and a half left, but really quick, you offer some accountability. You do life coaching. Is that correct?
I do.
Where can people go to learn more about?
They can go to, well, they can follow me on Instagram at MonicaBoscoCoaching.com or they can go to my website at MonicaBosco.com. And before we do wrap up, there's one thing that you just brought up talking about having accountability that we didn't talk about last week that I wanted to bring up. You know, coaches have a specific role. Therapists have a specific role. In this area here, where we're talking about our faith life, a spiritual director would be key. That could be a priest, it could be a deacon, it could be a religious, somebody that's certified as a spiritual director to walk with you in your faith life.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Monica Bosco, for this incredibly, just enlightening segment. So cool, and helping us become the best version of ourselves. Once again, very quick, where can people go to learn more about your services?
Either at Instagram at Monica Bosco Coaching or my website, MonicaBosco.com.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful hour. Let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.